Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen. Good morning. I have a friend who's one of her main gifts, I wouldn't say it's her only gift, but one of her main gifts in life is to be a hostess. When you're invited to dinner at her home, whether it's for two or three people or for a dinner party, from the moment you enter her house, you almost feel like the house is reaching out to welcome you. The lighting in the room is beautiful and peaceful with candles. There's usually a simple arrangement of flowers on one of the tables. Her whole demeanor is relaxed. She seems to have had the perfect cheeses and fruits spread out so she can sit and enjoy a glass of wine with you while you're visiting. When the time comes to serve the meal, it is already to the state that she asks you for a little bit of help so you feel very much included in this whole event of offering a dinner party. But before you know it, you're sitting and you're enjoying a delicious salad and a beautiful entree and an exquisite dessert with incredible china and crystal. Everything that she does says to you, you are treasured and you are loved. The whole event is a beautiful act of grace. Now, perhaps it's because meals in my household are the exact opposite of that experience. Now, how fast can we get something on the table and, you know, shovel food down our mouths so that we can make it to the bus or get out the door to the evening basketball practice or get homework done? That when I'm in the experience of that kind of a dinner, I feel my soul relax at some level. That kind of hospitality is a true gift, and I know many of you have that gift as well. So I want to say, as somebody who experiences that, please know that when you offer your gift to your guests, you are gracing them. You are absolutely blessing them by your offering. When we are listening to the gospel today with the resurrection appearances of our Lord, it is so wonderful to think about how the everyday things of our lives, walking along a road, inviting somebody into your house for a meal, sharing a meal, become those occasions in our lives where we experience Jesus, where we experience the deepest and most profound grace. The disciples, as they're walking along, are full of questions and wonderings and deep concern about what they've heard, what they have or have not seen. It's only been 3 days since the death of their friend. That's not much time to process all that they have been experiencing. So it's no wonder that as they were walking along, their minds were swirling and they were not in any state to be able to recognize the gift of the person whose presence they were in. It's so curious to me that the turning point in this particular part of the gospel, which is much longer for this week, I encourage you to go to Luke's gospel and read the extended account, but the turning point is as the night is falling, as the weather is getting nastier, the disciples turn to the stranger who has been walking with them. They get out of their own questions and concerns and turn towards him to extend hospitality, to say, please stay with us. Please eat with us, for it's getting dark. As they're focused on service, as they're focused on feeding their friend, their new friend, this relative stranger, their minds and their hearts quiet down enough that when they sit and break bread, they have that instant recognition of Jesus. The busyness in all of our lives, whatever the source of it is, whether you're still in the householding phase of your life, whether you've moved into that incredibly busy retirement phase of life, whether you're working for money or you're working for free, whatever it is that we do in our lives, we all can find ourselves overcome by the pace and the busyness and the questions and the worries and the wonderings that blind us to the ways that Jesus is present to us in the most immediate and small things. Father Ron Rollheiser, who is a Catholic priest, has written a lot about the sacrament of everyday living. And he reminds us that the resurrection, the work of the resurrection, does not begin in the tomb after Jesus has died, but begins in creation. When God and the Spirit and Jesus create the world, create all things in our physical world, and call it good, God blesses every aspect of our daily lives. And then when Jesus incarnates to spend 33 years as a human being, living and breathing and eating and working and playing and celebrating and blessing and healing and teaching, God further sanctifies every single aspect of our physical lives. But Rollheiser says, as a modern culture, we have lost the art of ritual and blessing in the course of our everyday existence. So we just get up and put one foot in front of the other and try to make it through as quickly as we can. Instead of having the space, the rituals, the opportunity to see in making a cup of coffee in the morning, you have the chance to create a little bit of space to meet God and to feel that peace that the disciples felt in Jesus' presence. For my stepfather, who is a retired heart surgeon, used to love to clean the kitchen and do the dishes at night. Seems weird to me that anybody would desire to clean the kitchen and to do dishes at night. But he still says that for him, it is a ritual process of bringing the day to a close, that in feeling the warm water on his hands, he said, I almost imagine that my worries and concerns for my patients are washing away. They'll be there in the morning. I'll still continue to care for them. But for that night, my concerns can be washed away. And so much of his life as a physician might not see any results in a patient's life for many weeks and months. But in cleaning the kitchen, he would say, in 15 minutes, I have immediate gratification of a clean kitchen. So for him, doing the dinner dishes became a sacramental act of thinking about and releasing his patients to God's care and finding a little bit of space to nurture himself. We all have that opportunity in our lives. Whatever it is in your life that feels most like a chore, I invite you to think if there's a way that you can bring a little bit of ritual or a little bit of space around that so that it becomes transformed into a time where you find some peace, where you find some settledness in the course of such a busy life. If finding a ritual around a particular chore doesn't make sense to you, Jesus becomes known to the disciples in the breaking and the blessing of the bread. If you happen to hear Krista Tippett's show on Being this morning, the guest speaker, Tiffany Schlein, talks about the Jewish Musar movement, which is a modern Jewish movement in character education. And part of that is trying to bless 100 things a day. So if finding a ritual around one thing feels weird or hard to do, then we can give thanks and we can bless this church for the warmth and the joy here. We can bless all of you. I think I just did 100 blessings right now. For coming out on this cold morning, for the coffee that's downstairs. So maybe if one thing, one ritual feels weird, try blessing everything, just very quickly in the course of your day. These resurrection accounts help each and every one of us as we move into Easter time to think about what it means to you today, this year, this Easter, to meet our risen Lord. And I invite you to find the grace, the sacrament of our everyday life.